for all of us. As Alan said, some of us have had and have virtuous wives. Some of us are virtuous wives. And hopefully many of us will become virtuous wives, and many of us will marry virtuous wives. We'll be in Proverbs 31 most of the evening. Obviously, where this story is told. Verse 1 of chapter 31 says the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. But verse 10 begins a different paragraph, and it's not clear if that heading still applies to verse 10 and following or not. We don't know who wrote this for sure. But God included it. When we look at all the principles of how we should behave with our finances, I think we see a lot of those principles illustrated in this story. So tonight we will talk about the worth of this virtuous wife, her work, her reward, and then I'll end with quite a few, what I hope will be very practical questions for us to think about. I keep intending every night to say that I will make these slides available, and I keep forgetting, so I'll leave these slides for anyone who would like to get copies of the slides. Before we look at these passages, let's turn over to Proverbs 21, verse 9. We'll come right back to chapter 31. Proverbs 21, verse 9 is one of several passages that talk about the possibility of being married to the wrong person. Young people, don't make that mistake. He says, better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. It is much better to go through life unmarried than to go through life married to the wrong person. Be careful. Look to God's Word to instruct you when choosing a mate. Chapter 31, we'll begin with verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. In my center column reference in my New King James Bible, it has in verse 10, at the word virtuous, a wife of valor, in the sense of all forms of excellence. People often define virtue in Scripture as moral excellence. That's what we should be hoping for. That's what we should be striving for. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. There's no doubt about that. When you read this story, after thinking about the Proverbs in the context of instructions about wealth, you see a lot here that discusses that. And we'll note that as we go through the lesson tonight. He will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Look at chapter 18 of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, we already saw, not just any wife, a good wife, A virtuous wife is what we're looking for. Chapter 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Why is she worth so much? He can trust her absolutely in every realm of their lives. He will have no lack of gain due to her efforts, due to the life that she lives. She does him good, not evil. I think what we're seeing here is someone who is, first of all, a spiritual helper. You know, if we think about the creation of man in the garden, when the woman was formed from Adam's rib, she was called a helper, suitable for him. A wife is to be a helper to her husband. You need to marry someone who will help you spiritually. Look at chapter 31, verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. We've talked in the lessons yesterday about the need to change our paradigm, that is, the way we view things, to make it match God's. And what we read here in 1 Peter chapter 3 does not match the world's paradigm of the relationship between wives and husbands. That doesn't matter. It's God's view. And it's the view we must have. As we continue to go through this story in Proverbs 31, we will continue to note, although the spiritual is more important, there is a lot said about things that relate to the finances that a family would deal with. How is her work described? We'll begin in verse 13. She seeks wool and flax, and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. We talked yesterday about the need for diligence. And we see that embodied in this virtuous woman. She's working hard. She's working with wisdom. Notice the different activities that are described that this woman is involved in. Sometimes I think women have a tendency to feel inadequate if they cannot do everything. They feel like they need to do more. None of us can do everything. But we see an example here of diversified effort. Someone who is busy doing everything she can to help her family, her husband, the poor, everyone she comes in contact with. Living the life of a servant. Look at verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Verse 27. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. That's an understatement. Verse 20, who is she working for? She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. I think that fits very well with things we talked about yesterday. Our wealth should be used to serve others, but our wealth can also be enjoyed. That's God's pattern. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here are Paul's instructions to those who have wealth. Verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. He expects us to do good works, to share, to give, to store up that heavenly foundation, to lay hold on eternal life. What will her reward be? Verse 28 and following. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. The virtuous wife deserves praise and emulation. She's a role model for younger women and for all of us. She deserves to enjoy blessings from the fruit of her hands. I don't know if the writer had a real woman in mind or if this is a hypothetical situation that he's describing, but it clearly shows us the impact of a single godly woman. May there be more of them. I just want to run through some questions for the ladies to think about, and then we'll have some questions for the men. And then we'll have questions for all of us. These are just thought questions. They're based on the things we've read. Adam needed a helper. Most of us do. Ladies, are you helping your husband? My wife told me to put this one in. Often it's the woman, the mother, the wife, who we might say sets the emotional tone in the household. It can be a place of stress. It can be a place of strife. Or it can be a joy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 14, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. I don't understand everything that's included in that phrase, manage the house. In God's plan, it's clear that the husband is the head of the home, the spiritual leader of the home. But there is some sense in which the wife is said to manage the house. Brothers, there's one thing I do know that this means. If you are a dictator in your home, you are not allowing your wife to be the manager of the home. It's impossible. Are you diligent? Showing hard work, with wisdom. Are your efforts diversified? There are many ways that a wife can help in the home that have to do with finances. As we mentioned yesterday, the husband and the wife should, I believe, be partners in every sense of the word. They should share the decision making when it comes to financial matters. And the wife should help look for opportunities to do things that will lead to her husband finding gain in every sense of the word. Sometimes that might be something as simple as looking for bargains when you shop. Maybe clipping a few coupons from time to time. Maybe having a yard sale. We could go on and on. There are all sorts of ways that a wife can help. Here's a good question for all of us, really, but ladies, are you bored? Find a virtuous woman who's not bored and ask her how she does it. She'll be glad to share that information with you. To tell you things you can do. To help follow the example that we see here in Proverbs 31. Are you on the same page financially with your husband? You know, I talked about when Leanne and I sit down before payday and have our budget committee meetings. That puts us on the same page. We are of one mind now, financially, as well as in more important ways. How many times does strife happen in the home because people are not on the same page? With discipline, for example. A husband and wife can't agree on what to do about a discipline problem with their children. Or with finances. But I think the last time I looked, the most common reason for divorce is financial problems. That's the way the world works. That's not the way God's people should work. Does your husband trust you completely? Or do you want to hide things from him? What are your spending habits? We have this idea, which is a generalization and a really overgeneralization, that women, you know, women can shop and spend the money faster than the husband can bring the money home. That's of course not always true. But it can be. Shopping for some people is really fun. So control it. Control that urge. Are you a giver or a taker? The woman we're reading about here in Proverbs 31 is giving to everybody. She's not sucking the life out of all the people around her. And then finally, what are you teaching your children? Now for us men. What is a husband? Long time ago, at ag schools like Purdue and Mississippi State and Auburn, John, They would have a degree program called animal husbandry. And the word husband means a caretaker. Are you taking care of your wife? She needs that, just like you need help. Does your wife feel secure in the home, or does she feel stressed? Dave Ramsey says that women have a very healthy security gland, he calls it. And by that he means they have a need for security beyond what most of us men do. So, as men, we are perhaps more likely to take risks. And our wives will be afraid of this risk. And we say, it'll be all right, don't worry about it. And we proceed, and they worry. So if you decide you need 3 to 6 months of expenses as an emergency fund, and you want 3 and your wife wants 6, try 9. Three plus 6 is 9. I described our past history and how I shoved all the financial stress on Leanne. And some men do that, and that's wrong. But some men do the opposite. They don't let the wife have anything to do with the money. Is that what you see in Proverbs 31? A husband who's letting his wife have nothing to do with the finances? That's not what's there. It shouldn't be that way. Do you ask too much of your wife? There are lots of ways to do that. One of them is the way that I used to do. In families where both spouses work outside the home, who does the work in the home? Does the wife have to do it all? That's too much. Some of us were talking yesterday, I don't remember who, but we were talking about how we're all just little boys. That was us, wasn't it? With Ted and Vicky. All us men are just little boys. We just get older. We tend to want to buy really big, expensive toys when we buy stuff. You know, boats and cars and some of the most expensive toys you can imagine. That's where we often stumble. So what are our spending habits like? Same question we had a while ago. Are we on the same page? We need to be accountable to someone. And if you're married, you need to be accountable to your spouse when it comes to money. We need to communicate. There's not a whole lot said about the husband, really, here in Proverbs 31, but we can infer some things. But one thing it does say is he praises his wife. And what are we teaching our children? One of the greatest gifts that a father can give to his children is to love their mother. now for all of us. Financial management, we said, has to do with financial planning and financial control. Are we making plans together and trying to implement them, or do we just react to events? What do you think this woman was doing? I see a lot of planning here in Proverbs 31. Making garments, getting ready for winter, selling things. Could we live on one income? I mentioned this yesterday and I said, we never know what will happen. Sometimes young women decide that what they want to be in life is they just want to be a wife and mother. And so that's what they prepare for. They get married. They really haven't learned any skills other than the things that would be useful to be a housewife. And then some tragedy happens. Many of you may know Brother Bill Hall. His son Bruce is married to BJ, a wonderful lady. They had two little children. When at the age of 34, Bruce passed away. BJ was left with those two children. Although she was working in the home, she had prepared herself as a speech pathologist and was able to support her family. When I look at this passage, I see service all over these verses. It's a life of service. Would that describe our lives? Do we deserve praise like the virtuous wife? Or do we deserve rebuke because we fail to follow God's plan? Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. The story of the virtuous wife is a story of diligence, of a partnership, of service. I don't know a better passage to show service than this one. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. They had no idea what they were saying. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Some men want to be elders because they want to run things. It shall not be so among you. Some men want to be the preacher so they can tell everybody what to do. It shall not be so among you. Some men want a wife so they can be the boss of a home. It shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. The night that Jesus was betrayed, what did he do? He took a bowl of water and a towel. He was the Lord. He was the master. And he was the servant. He washed their feet to try to show them, it shall not be so among you. He has served all of us by paying that debt. How will we serve him? If you're subject to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.